Greetings and peace in the name of Jesus, who is the newborn King. So I need to ask you, are you a dog person or a cat person? So cat people, raise your hands. Dog people, raise your hands. All right. A lot more dog people than cat people. Somebody said the difference between cats and dogs are this. To cats, cats are the master, right? If you own a cat, you are considered staff. I own cats. I visit people on cats, and all of a sudden they're right on top of you. You know what I mean? You're sitting on the couch next to you, know they're right by you, all right? Cats see you as staff, and you're there to do things for cats, right? Cats are sort of their own masters, and they see you as master. You ever notice when a cat get hurt, it never acts hurt? You know, dogs go, cats don't. George Carlin was a comedian. He said, cats never act hurt in front of you, but behind the couch they have exercise equipment and they do rehab. So they come out, they look really good. That George Carlin says. Now, if you're a dog person, to dogs, you're the what? You're the master. My son told me a story of a man from Japan who died, and his dog always met him at the train platform, and for 8 years after that man died, the dog came faithfully. If you own a dog, to a dog, you're what? You're the master. That's right. A little boy once prayed, "Dear God, please don't tell my dog how bad I am." See, the cats, they're the master, and to dogs, you're the master. You're either mastered or you're the master. Different between dogs and cats. Now, Job went through some trials, and Pastor Luring talked about Job last week, that Job was an innocent, God-fearing man, and Satan made a deal with God to say, if I put Job under the heat, I'd wonder if he'd fold. And God said, fine, but don't lay a finger upon him. And Job went through all sorts of trials and tribulations. Maybe you heard it before. Do you have the patience of Job? And Job's question to God was, I'm a good man, and I'm a good person, and all this stuff is happening to me, and I can't figure out why, God. It just doesn't seem to be fair. And so God sort of had a tug of war at Job, and God's point was, I am God, and you are what? Not. Dr. Martin Luther summarizes it like this. He says, let God be God. And God brought to Job that I am God and you are not. You are not around when I formed the foundations of the world. You did not set the world into its pattern. I did. And I am God, Job, and you are not. I am the master and you don't master me. And Job came to understand that that God loved him very much. I am God. You are not. Let me love you. You see, to master or be mastered. Any of you see this movie, remember the Titans? Sorry, spoiler alert. Some say it's one of the best sports movies ever. But the unique thing about Remember the Titans is it took place during a time of great racial tension in the late 60s, and integration began to take place. And Denzel Washington plays a very successful high school coach who happens to be an African-American in a community of whites who sometimes weren't very receptive to African-Americans. So in the movie, two talented high school football players who are white, you see them there, have things figured out. And their team's going to college for like this week-long football camp. And the two white players go up to Denzel Washington, who's the head coach, and says, listen, we got this figured out. I'll be the offensive coordinator. He'll be the defensive coordinator, and you just sit back. Now, perhaps they should go to the Browns and the Lions. I think they need some help, all right? But right now, in the movie, they said, we got this figured out. And so Denzel Washington, the coach, he looks over and says, I see your mama, but I don't see your daddy. He looked at them both and says, now who's your daddy? I don't see your daddy. Who's your daddy? He says, I'm your daddy, and you're going to listen to me. Now I want you both to say it to me. Straighten up your ties and say it to me. Who's your daddy? I'm your daddy, and you're going to do it my way. So straighten up those ties and get on the bus, because I'm the daddy, and I'm going to tell you how it's going to be. You see, sometimes you and I in our sins, we like to believe that we're the boss, that we're the master. We're the daddy. I'm going to tell God how it is, and I'm going to pretend to be God when I'm really not. Let God be God. Who's the master? And so in today's gospel lesson, that brings up that subject. Who's your daddy? Who's master? Who's to be mastered? And so we start with John the Baptist. And John the Baptist heard about Jesus and what he was doing, and he sent his disciples to Jesus and said, I want to make sure you're the real Messiah. To John the Baptist, Jesus was supposed to be smacking the bad people around and punishing the bad people. John the Baptist had his own agenda for Jesus. He wanted Jesus to be different. John the Baptist wanted to be master over Jesus. Then what about Judas? Judas wanted to be master over Jesus. Judas was concerned about money. Judas wanted Jesus to get the Romans out of Israel and for them to return to their power of glory. And Judas wasn't on the same page as Jesus. Judas saw himself as master over Jesus. That's why he betrayed him. Jesus, I'm done hearing about the kingdom of God and forgiveness of sins sort of stuff. I'm master over you. We go through it through the Bible. They're the mother of the sons of Zebedee, and she really loved her two boys, and she spoiled them, and she believed her boys deserved the best of everything. So she came to Jesus and said, Jesus, can my darling two little boys sit at your right hand, and can they drink your cup? Because they're really special boys, and I want them to have a special place. And Jesus looked at her and said, do you really want them to drink the cup I'm going to drink? Because where would Jesus drink his cup at? Say it. The cross. You really want your sons to be crucified with me? Do you really want them to be in the same position of servanthood I am? You see, to the mother of the sons of Zebedee who spoiled her darling two little boys, she wanted to be master over Jesus. It continues in the Bible, people who wanted to be masters over Jesus. The Sadducees and Pharisees. Jesus, we don't like you hanging out with sinners and prostitutes and tax collectors and politicians. We don't like you doing that. We want you to be like us and keep our rules and traditions. We don't like you feeding the hungry. We don't like you talking about redemption. We have our own agenda for you, Jesus. And surprisingly, even Peter. Peter wanted to be master over Jesus. To Peter, Jesus was supposed to become this big rock star, and since Peter's a roadie, when Jesus hits it big, Peter's going to get a big piece of the pie. And when Jesus said, the Son of Man must suffer and die again, and 3 days rise again, Peter said, I don't want anything to do with that, Jesus. If you die, that means I might have to die. I want you to hit it big. Peter had a different agenda than Jesus did. Peter thought he was master. Then what about Herod? You know, King Herod, he wanted to be master over Jesus. When he saw Jesus and the miracles Jesus did, Herod thought that Jesus was some sort of magician and some sort of entertainer. So Herod said to Jesus, so if you are the Christ, yes, the one Jesus Christ, prove to me that you're no fool, walk across my what? Swimming pool. And Jesus, if you are truly divine, if you're really divine, Jesus, change this water into wine. All these people had their own agendas to be master over Jesus, what Jesus should be doing. And nothing much has changed since then. What's contemporary view of the Messiah? Well, some people, I'm master over Jesus, so Jesus is going to make sure I have the good life. And TV preachers make a lot of money with that message. Someone once said, Pastor Muse, I know God loves you because you've never been in an accident until last October. That's how I know I'm master over Jesus. Jesus is going to make sure I have a good life and nothing bad happens to me. Or Jesus is a social justice champion. Whatever cause you have, Jesus will be your champion. I'm master over who Jesus is. And sorry, right is right, wrong is wrong. Jesus is God and that's how it is. He isn't anybody's champion for anyone's cause. He's God and Lord. Or what about Jesus, the healer and miracle worker? So all love and sensitivity, I lost my dear friend about 10 days ago. About a month ago, I visited with him, and he said, Kurt, he said, you know, I think it'd be wonderful, and my prayer is if God would heal me, and that'd be a witness. And I said, I wish that too. I wish God would heal you, because it would be a witness. Look what God could do in your later stages of cancer. But then again, it's also a miracle that you have faith. And when you die, you'll be with who? Jesus. Now, it's easy for me to stand here and say it. I'm not suffering from cancer yet. I didn't deal with he did yet. See, sometimes we have our own agendas of what we want Jesus to do. Or every day can be a Friday. Jesus is going to make my life great. My dog's no longer going to throw up. My spouse is going to get along with me. My kids aren't going to cause trouble in schools. And everybody get along and my team's going to start to win. And by the way, that's a best-selling book. And religious people buy it. Every day can be a Friday. Forget about your cross. Don't worry about Jesus said you're going to carry your cross. Some people think that. Or just give me a little bit of Jesus. I just want a little bit of Jesus. Haven't had a little bit of Jesus for a long time. All these are basically themes on the same bad agenda. I'm master over Jesus. I'll let Jesus. I'm going to tell Jesus what to do. But then this is who Jesus says he is. He speaks from Isaiah, the same Jesus. I've come that the blind can receive sight. Just not the physically blind, but the spiritually blind. I've come that the lame are able to walk. I've come that the lepers are cleansed. I've come that the deaf can hear. Just not the physically deaf, but the spiritually and mentally deaf. Have you ever talked to anyone who refused to listen to anybody? You know what I'm talking about? Ever talked to anyone who, like you're talking to the wall? Jesus says, I've come to open their ears. I've come that the dead may be raised. Just not the physically dead, but the spiritually dead, those who don't believe in me yet. And finally, I've come that the poor are evangelized. This is Jesus as master, and this is what Jesus says, I have come to do. And if we break apart that word, this is what Jesus was doing in the past from the days of Isaiah to now into the future. He has been doing that. Healing the leper, opening up ears, making the lame to walk, evangelizing the poor. Let me talk to you about the poor. What does it mean the poor evangelized? Well, we can think about those who are destitute. You know, they drive a 1999 old minivan. They live in a real small house and have huge electric bills. Barely get by and they come to our food pantry. Yeah, he's come to bring evangelism to the poor. But he also came to those who are poor in spirit. Like who? Like those of us who've lost children. Those of us who have been through divorce. Those of us who sometimes our spouse doesn't love us as we need to. Those of us who sometimes get mistreated by our bosses. Those of us who have been through the wear and tear of life. Those of us who have participated in combat and yet have been disrespected by our fellow countrymen. He has come to minister to us who are poor in spirit. Beaten up and downtrodden. Injustice given to us. Then he also comes, the poor also who? Poor, miserable sinners. After worship service once, a young man came up to me and said, Pastor, am I really a poor, miserable sinner? And my response was, well, I'm a poor, miserable sinner. If you don't see yourself as a poor, miserable sinner, just go over the Ten Commandments again and read a chapter from St. Paul. And we will all realize that we're all what? Poor, miserable sinners. But Jesus comes in his agenda for us. To forgive, to redeem, to bring hope, to open our eyes and ears that we might know that he loves us dearly through Christ Jesus. He's our master, not to be our boss, but to love us and bring us into a right relationship with him. You and me, poor, miserable sinners, poor in spirit, destitute, he came for. Martin Luther said this, the law is for the haughty, the gospel is for the brokenhearted. For those of us who are beaten down by life and realize we're sinners, here's the gospel. That's Jesus' agenda. For those of us who have an agenda, I'm not that bad, then the law is for you. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What else? Mastered by Jesus. Blessed is a person who does not fall away or is offended by me. I'm not offended that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. I'm not offended that there's only one door and one gate to Jesus, to God, and that's through Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. He never said, I'm one of many ways, one of many truths, and many light. I am light, the way, and truth myself. Friends in Christ, there are churches that will take out the cross because it's offensive to others, not here. There are churches that will remove the baptismal font because it has a cross on it, not here. There are churches that say we'll deny it's a body and blood because it's offensive to others, not here. There are churches that say we will deny the triune God because it's offensive, not here. Jesus said, blessed is the person who is not offended by me, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is God. He's our master who loves us dearly. Let's not be offended by that. Let's rejoice and celebrate and share that with others. To be mastered by Jesus, and this is sort of multiple choice. A, Christ is my Savior. B, Christ will remove all my problems. C, Christ will bless me with earthly treasures. Or D, Christ is defined by our society. Which one's true? Say it. Yeah, other two sirs got it. That's what that means. I'm not the master, Christ's the master. He's my Savior. For us poor, miserable sinners who died and redeemed. We celebrate this Jesus at Christmas, and we rejoice when he comes in judgment. Jesus came to what? Seek and save the lost. Jesus came to what? He's a Lamb of God who takes away my sin. Jesus comes for what? To save us, his people, from sin. He's the master. Let him master us and bring us that joy and blessing. I love this. We are not masters of Jesus, but mastered by Jesus and rejoice in his salvation. Ready for this? Share this. Believe it. Jesus did not promise a smooth flight, but he did promise a what? Yeah, safe landing. He promised us a safe landing. That's what it means he's in control. Be patient, friends in Christ, in spite of our tribulations and trials. He promises a smooth landing, a safe landing in heaven. So how about this? Come, Lord Jesus. You are our master. You died for us. You love us. Lead us, guide us, bless us. Thank you for your salvation. And how about this for a closing thought? Blessed the person who does not stumble on account of me. Don't stumble over him. And all God's people say, amen.